Hey, we're so excited that you're joining us here on Community Church Podcast, where our prayer is that you would find a better life with Jesus and a secure place in heaven. We hope this message encourages you, and if you want to find out more ways to connect, you can visit us at forabetterlife.org.
Let's do our declaration of faith. Raise one of your hands and say with me, Lord, I am ready to hear your word, to believe your word, and to live your word, because I've been chosen for victory and not for defeat, for health and not for sickness, for prosperity and not for poverty, because I am more than a conqueror in Jesus' name and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. If you believe it, give God a big hand today. Celebrate there wherever you are, because today is the day of the Lord. We're going to start a series today that is called Healing a Sick Land. Healing a Sick Land. So the first question will be, are we living in a sick land? And if we are, what is the remedy? Can we do something to change the circumstances, to change what is happening on earth? Healing a sick land. So we will discover the answer of that today and the coming weeks. But today's topic is, it is time for repentance. Say it with me. It is time for repentance. We're going to learn about repentance today. I want you to go with me to the second book of Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Healing a sick land. And today's topic is, it is time for repentance. The Bible says, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people, pay attention to this, if my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Wow. I want you to give you the context of this passage of the Bible. Right after King Solomon finished building the temple for God, a house for worship, he received this promise from God. So if you want to get God's attention, you need to be willing to do something for his kingdom. You need to be willing to open a space in your own house and through your life to worship God. That happened with King Solomon was the original desire of his father, King David. And I have both names. My name is David Solomon. David because I'm handsome, and Solomon because I'm wise. You know, and I really believe that. So King David had the desire to build a temple for God, and the Lord said to him, thank you because you want to honor me, but there is a reality. Your hands are dirty with blood, because David was a warrior. But God granted the permission for the son of King David, Solomon, to build the house. The house for an encounter, the representation of the relationship between God and man. And after he finished, the Lord told him, okay, because you did this, I'm going to give you a secret. Say with me, a secret. A very powerful secret. God was giving Solomon the secret to heal the land, because God knew that the land could get sick. And the question is, when the land gets sick? And the answer is easy. When the people of the land is sinning. When the people of the land is independent or are independent from God. So when we do that, we will get a sick land. And the question is, are we living in a sick land today? Well, the characteristics of a sick land are a drought, plagues, and pestilence. Drought is when there is no water, so there is no production of the earth. There is no fruit. So if you think about this, and the reality we are facing right now, a lot of people have lost their jobs. A lot of businesses are closing. A lot of people are struggling with the finances because we are in a drought. There is a dry season we are facing right now. The other, the plagues. In that verse, the Bible is specific about the plagues of, if you read it with me, with the locust. What is the locust that devoured the land? It's an insect like a grasshopper. But today, we understand that this is related to the demons that are acting in our land, in our society. We have plagues right now, drug addiction, addictions, alcoholism, pornography. We have different plagues right now. And the Bible says that another sign of a sick land is pestilence. We are facing a pestilence. It's a sickness. COVID-19 is a pestilence that we are facing right now. So the question the answer to the question, are we living in a sick land, is yes, we are. Can we do something? Yes, we can. Who is responsible to heal the land? Well, if we review again the secret that the Lord gave to King Solomon, the verse 14 starts saying, if my people, say with me, the people of God. Say with me, the people of God. And he says, if my people who are called by my name, who has the answer to heal the land, people? Who has the remedy for this? We, the church. But I don't want to speak generally today. I want to speak to your life. Because we can say, oh, the answer, the remedy for the situation we are facing today is the church. And you get a part of the responsibility to do something. We have to do something. We are the church. And we have the secret in the Bible that we have to discover today to apply it to our land. And when I speak about the land that is sick, I'm speaking about a country. I'm speaking about a city. But I'm speaking about a family, even about hearts. So your heart can be sick today. Your family can be sick today. Our society can be sick today. But we need to apply the remedy that God is giving us today to see a change. There is hope in this whole situation. Can you say it with me? There is hope. Say it. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope. We have a future. But we have to follow God's principles. So we are living in the sick land, and we, as the children of God, we have to do something. And I have a question for you. At the beginning of this pandemic, of this season, God gave you some talents. He gave you some opportunities. So you can use those opportunities to pass to the other side, to succeed, to help others. What have you been doing during this season with the talents that the Lord gave you? If Jesus comes today and he goes to your house and asks you about what you have been doing during this season, what will be your report? It will be a positive report or it will be a negative report? Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I was so afraid. I was so, distracted with this, with social media. I didn't know what to do. And the Lord will tell you, no, I gave you good things. I gave you talents. I gave you opportunities. I was saying something before we came to this service to some of the disciples. The money, the finances are there, and they will start flowing again. But these finances and the money will start flowing nor as in the past. The new flows will be a selective flow. So if, for example, you have the resources and you need to invest your money, in the past you have 10 options. But after this situation, because you have less or you have fear to invest, you will invest 2 instead of 10. So the question is, who will be those 2 that will receive the flow of the money? So you have to be a person of excellence during this season. You have to be a very proactive person during this season. Because others won't receive if they are afraid or they are not doing good. That it's not enough to be good during this season. You have to be the best. So raise one of your hands and say, Father, help me. Help me. Say it. Help me to be the best. A person of excellence. My people, if my people, and the Lord gave 4 things that we need to do. First, he says that we need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. We need to seek his face. And we need to turn from our wicked ways. We will cover the prayer next week. But today I want to emphasize the other 3. And if I look for a word that will summarize the all 3, humble ourselves to seek God's face. And the last one that says to turn from our wicked ways is a word that is called repentance. Repentance. There is another word that is similar, and we sometimes get confused with both of them. It's remorse. Remorse is one thing, repentance is another thing. What is God looking in your heart? Remorse? No, he's looking for repentance. So this is the key. If we want to heal our land, if we want to heal our families, if we want to heal our hearts, we need to be humble. And what does it mean? That we need to recognize our limitations and our weaknesses. We need to be humble. We need to recognize our limitations and weaknesses. We need God. We cannot succeed alone. Second, we need to seek God's face. And this is very important. Pay attention to this. If you are a parent, father or mother, I want you to remember the day that your first child were born. What did you do? The first thing that you did that day. I remember the first thing I did, it was to go to my baby. In my case, it was Fernando, and then Andres, and then Daniel, and look at their faces. And I put my face in front of their faces because I want to know them, and I want them to know me. Sometimes we make the mistake to seek only God's hands because we are getting closer to him, because we need him. Father, I need this. Can you do this for me? And that is part of our relationship with him. But we need to make sure that we are seeking his face because we want to have a relationship with him. We want to know him better. If you are seeking God during this season, just because you need him, you need to move to the next level. You will seek God because you desire him. You desire him. I need your help, Father. But I need you more than your help. People are seeking God's miracles instead of the God of the miracle. He will give you whatever you need. But if you are a parent, you understand me. If your children will only come to you because they need you, that won't be a healthy relationship. You want to bless your children But you want to have their hearts, and the reflection of the heart is in our faces. So God told the people, humble yourself, seek my face, pray, and then turn from your wicked ways. Repentance. Let's go to three examples of the Bible about the difference between remorse and repentance. Go with me to the book of Exodus chapter 9, verse 27. And I'm going to read about the 10 plagues that the Lord sent to the Egyptians because they had the people of Israel as slaves, being slaves in the land. So God sent punishment to the Egyptians. Pharaoh was the king of Egypt in that time, and he was resisting the order of the Lord to let the people go. So God sent punishment. And the Bible says something very interesting. Exodus chapter 9, verse 27 says, then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron. This time I have sinned, he said to them. The Lord is in the right, and my people are in the wrong. Pray to the Lord, for we have enough thunder and hail. I will let you go. You don't have to stay any longer, says Pharaoh. Moses replied, when I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands in prayer to the Lord. The thunder will stop and there will be no more hail. So you may know that the earth is the Lord's. Pay attention to this. But I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord God. Pharaoh recognized his mistake. He said, I'm a sinner. I'm doing wrong. But the question is, did he really repent? Or just he felt bad because of the consequences he was facing because of his acts? And that's the difference. The remorse will make you feel uncomfortable, sad, because of the consequences you will face. But repentance is another thing. So did Pharaoh repent? No. He just had remorse. Another example. One of the kings of Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 30. He was the first king of Israel. But he made wrong. He received an order from the prophet, and he disobeyed the order. So God made a decision to finish his time on the throne. So he said, there is no more time for you to be the king of Israel. And the Bible says what follows this. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 30 says, then he said, the king, I have sinned. Yet honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may bow before the Lord your God. Wow. The king of Israel is saying to the prophet, your God, the God of Israel, the people that is under my authority, is not my God. So he recognized that he was doing wrong, but he didn't recognize the Lord as his Lord. Just words. And sometimes that is the mistake that we do. We are feeling bad because of the situation. We are receiving the judgment and the punishment or the harvest of our actions. And we say, no, this is bad. I'm sorry, Lord. But you are not repenting. You are just remorsing. And Jesus said something that can clarify that. If you read with me in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, and we will apply this to our lives right now. Jesus said, calling up a prophet Isaiah, says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And that takes me to the next question for you. How far is your heart from God today? The beginning of this story was King Solomon building a temple, a house of worship to the Lord. Because he wanted to be closer, not only him, but the whole people of Israel, to have a place, to have a relationship, a real relationship with God. So how far is your heart from God right now? Do you have a space? Do you have a time during the day, during the week, to have an encounter with God? Or this whole situation that is happening is making you backwards in your relationship with God. You are leaving your commitments with God. For you, the day of the Lord is not as important as it was in the past. If I feel, I connect. If I feel, I go. If I feel, if I feel, if I feel. The life of a Christian is not based or hasn't been based on feelings, but in convictions. In this case, King Saul was saying, okay, I made a mistake, but do something. Can you make me look good before the people? So he wasn't interested in pleasing God. He was interested in pleasing people. If you live trying to please people, you will be a slave of them. So how far is your heart from God right now? Jesus said, these people, they know how to speak. They know what to do at church. They know some verses. But they only honor me with their lips. But their heart is far, far from me. So God is calling our attention right now. He's saying, okay, I know this is a difficult situation. But remember that I can do great things through difficult situations in your life. But you need to realize if your commitment is superficial or is a real commitment. Can you put your hands on your heart now and say, Father, show me the reality of my heart. And you know that there is an easy way to discover the reality of your heart. Pay attention to your actions, not to your words, to your actions. How do you invest your time? How do you invest your resources? How do you... That's the key, actions. But let's go to the last example of today. This is the real one. If we go to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 13. The Bible says that King David was a very special man before God. But he made big mistakes as well. How many of you had made mistakes in your life? Big, 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 that you know that it's only because of God's mercy that you are alive. You know that it's only because God's love that you are here and you haven't faced the consequences that you deserved. King David faced that as well. He murdered, he committed adultery, but he really repented before God. And that's the key. The key is that when you made a mistake, you had to be fast, quick to come back to God and repent. And the Bible says that after he committed murder and adultery, he was confronted by the prophet Nathan. And the Bible says, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. When I read this, I can say, wow, this was fast and easy. He just said, I sinned against you, Lord. I'm sorry. What? That was fast. Yeah, but the key of this is not what he said. It was the intentions and the reality of his heart. And because God knows what is inside of your heart, and God knew about what was in the heart of King David, God immediately forgave him. But how can we know that King David was real when he said that he was sorry? He was with a heart of repentance when he spoke to the prophet. Well, I really love this next chapter of the Bible that we're going to read, because it reveals us the real heart of King David. I want you to go with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 51. Right after he asked for forgiveness and right after he recognized his wrongs, he wrote this psalm. And the Bible says that he was praying to the Lord. And that is what we need to do to heal our land. To have this kind of heart, to have this kind of attitude. You cannot only look for yourself or for your family. You need to understand that whatever you do, good or right and wrong, will affect not only you and your family, but your surroundings, your church, your society, the city where you live at. And the Bible says that the king said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely, I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Wow. This is not a regular person praying to God. He was the king of Israel, the most powerful person in the whole country, with a humble heart, seeking God's face, making the decision to turn from his wicked ways. How far is your heart from God right now? Are you a better person now than the person you were at the beginning of this pandemic? How are your commitments with God right now? Are you more willing to serve Him? Are you more willing to worship Him? Are you more willing to give to His kingdom? Or you are walking backwards right now? Today is the time to awaken your commitments. Today is the time to awaken your worship. Today is the time to awaken your offerings to God. Solomon called God's attention, building a temple to the Lord. What are you willing to build for God today? It could be as easy that be calling people that are in need right now. Your friends, your family members, people from church. The members of the Golden Network, the young generation. Whatever you need to do, do it. And humble your heart. And let's stand up now. I want to worship the Lord and want to practice this today. So I don't want you to disconnect right now. I want you to get serious in this moment because you will have the opportunity to make this very practical. To see inside of your heart what is within you right now. What needs to change? The Lord is extending His hand to you today. And He's telling you, I love you and I want you to repent. Remember, repentance includes transformation. Remorse is just a feeling that you did wrong. But repentance includes action, real transformation. If you're going north, to repent means that you will turn away of that destiny. You will turn from your original pathway and go to the other side because you are trying to please God with all your heart. So take a moment to prepare your heart and take a moment to prepare your words because you will speak, but I want you to speak from your heart, not just from your lips. Let's do something. Get on our knees today. If you are connected, try to make a space to the Lord and humble your heart. And this position to be on your knees is a way to say to the Lord, I'm surrendering myself. I come to you with repentance in my heart, Lord. Can you pray with me today? Can you repeat after me and say, Father, I come before you today. And I ask you for forgiveness. Forgive my wrongs, Father. Forgive my sins. I recognize my mistakes. I recognize that I run away from my convictions and my commitments. But today, I renew my pact with you. I renew my relationship with you because I want to honor you, Father. And I open my heart so you can transform it. Transform it, Father. Transform it. Do whatever you need to do to take me to the purpose, to the assignment that you have for me. This is the position. This is the position. On your knees. On your knees. But remember what is happening in your body needs to happen in your heart. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, this is the moment to do it. But if you want to renew your commitment with God, this is the moment. So pray with me and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I open my heart to you And I ask you for forgiveness. Cleanse me. Transform me. Fill me with your Spirit, Father. And Jesus, thank you because you paid the price for my salvation, dying on the cross. And I receive it today. And I declare that I'm a child of God from this moment. And I will obey you. And I will follow your will. Thank you, Father. And I pray today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. Be sure to visit us at forabetterlife.org, where you can get connected, plan a visit to any one of our services, send us any prayer requests you may have, or take your next step in your spiritual walk. If you've decided to give your life to Jesus today, congratulations, we're so excited for you. Don't hesitate to reach out to us and connect at forabetterlife.org.